אנחנו קוראים בספר כתבי בעל הסולם.
We are reading in the book Kabbalah for the Student on page 330, the article Introduction to the Study of the Ten Sefirot. We're starting from the bottom of the page on item 31. You can ask questions at kab.tv. Questions that are related to the study topic will be asked during the lesson. Again, Introduction to the Study of the Talmud, to the Study of the Ten Sefirot. Kabbalah for the Student, page 330, item 31. There is a great need to explain once and for all why the coming of the Messiah depends on the study of Kabbalah in the masses, which is so prevalent in the Zohar and in all the books of Kabbalah. The populace has already discussed it pointlessly, and it has become unbearable. The explanation of this matter is expressed in the Tikkunim, the corrections of the Zohar, abbreviated translation. When the Holy Divinity went into exile, this spirit blows upon them who engage in the Torah because the Holy Divinity is among them. They are all as hay-eating beasts. Every grace that they do for themselves. Even all those who do study the Torah, every grace that they do for themselves. In that time, the spirit leaves and does not return to the world. This is the spirit of the Messiah.
וזהו רוח המשיח. אוי להם למי שגורם שילך מן העולם.
Woe unto them that make the spirit of the Messiah leave and not return to the world. They make the Torah dry and do not want to delve into the wisdom of Kabbalah. These people cause the sprouting of the wisdom, which is the Yud in the name Havaya, to depart. The spirit of the Messiah leaves, the spirit of holiness, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, Chokhmah and Bina, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge, Da'at, and of the fear of the Lord. And God said, Let there be light. This is the light of love, the love of mercy. As it is written, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. It is said about that, If ye awaken, and if ye stir up love until it please, then it is love not in order to receive reward. This is because if fear and love are in order to receive reward, it is a handmaid. A handmaid that is heir to her mistress.
השבעתי אתכם, בנות ירושלים, בצבאות או בעילות השדה, אם תעירו ואם תעוררו את האהבה עד שתהפץ, שהיא אהבה ולא פרס, ולא על מנת לקבל פרס, דיראה ואהבה על מנת לקבל פרס היא של שפחה. ותחת שלוש רגזה הארץ וכולי, תחת עבד כי אם לא...
The Kabbalah for the Student version has an abbreviated translation. That's why the reader continues reading here.
Well, there's nothing to really explain here. He's taking the Zohar and he starts interpreting it in order to show us why dissemination of Kabbalah is so critical. Because if we won't disseminate Kabbalah, we'll advance towards the goal in a path of suffering, a path that is very tough. And that's not why the Torah was given to us, or this point, the spark in the heart. Rather, in order to advance consciously, knowingly, building ourselves. So in order to explain that, he takes a piece from the Zohar and interprets it. Keep going.
Item 32. We shall begin to explain the tikkunim, the corrections of the Zohar, from toe to head. He says that the fear and the love one has in the practice of Torah and mitzvot in order to receive reward, meaning while hoping for some benefit from the Torah and the work, this is considered the maid. It is written about her, a handmaid that is heir to her mistress. This is seemingly perplexing, for it is written, one will always engage in Torah and mitzvot, even lo lishma. and why the earth doth quake. In addition, we must understand the correlation of the engagement in Lulishma specifically to the handmaid, and also the parable that she inherits her mistress. What inheritance is there here? Adam 33. You will understand the matter with everything that is explained above in this introduction, that they did not permit the study in Lulishma, but only since from Lulishma one comes to Lishma, since the light in it reforms. Hence, engagement in Lulishma is considered a helping handmaid who assists and performs the ignoble works for her mistress, the Holy Divinity. This is because at last one will come to Lishma and will be imparted the inspiration of divinity. Then the maid, which is the engagement in Lulishma, will also be considered a holy maid, for she supports and prepares the holiness, though she will be considered the world of Asiya, of the Kedusha, of the holiness. However, if one's faith is incomplete, and he does not engage in the Torah, or in the work only because the Creator commanded him to study, then we have seen above that in such Torah and work, the light does not appear. This is because one's eyes are flawed, and like a bat, turn the light into darkness. Such a study is no longer considered a maid of Kedusha, of holiness, since he will not acquire Lishma through it. Hence, it comes to the domain of the maid of Klipa, Shel, which inherits these Torah and work, and robs them for herself. Hence, the earth doth quake, meaning the holy divinity called earth. This is so because those Torah and work that should have come to her, as possessions of the holy divinity, that evil handmaid robs and lowers them to be a possession of the klipot, of the shells. Thus the handmaid is heir to her mistress.
So we're seeing that a person who lives in this world and discovers himself and asks, what is the point in life? And accordingly, he receives a certain connection. To the Torah. He feels that it can answer his question of what is the point in life, why do I live, and so on. And this can really help him answer the question is of what is the secret of life. If he comes with that approach to the Torah, then it's a correct approach. If he engages in the Torah because the Creator commanded to, that's called a klipa, a shell. Why? The Creator commanded and I shall do. No, we are a will to receive. We're egoists. We want to fulfill ourselves and benefit. And if a person says, I engage in the Torah because the Creator has commanded, it's a sign that he has no true desire for it. And his approach is false. Therefore, the land was upset means that there is no true desire in him that has awakened and can take him to the purpose of creation. And if he does engage in it because he wants to know why and how he exists, what's the point of my existence, what's the purpose of life, and from this healthy, natural desire, of having to unlock the secret of his life, then even though he engages in lolishma, having all sorts of intentions, desires, being confused in many directions, it doesn't matter, as long as his inner desire is genuine. And therefore, the entire engagement, even though he still doesn't have the right intentions or pure desires, that he truly craves bestowal, love, love of others, love of the Creator, and so on, it doesn't matter. If he has a desire in himself, then he's on the way. And that's called a handmaid that assists her mistress. Questions.
He depicts here a state where his aggression to the nation,
meaning the handmaid that is heir to her mistress,
meaning the Shekinah Knusha, which is called Earth, the Holy Divinity, which is called Earth.
What he's doing is not in its direction.
Is there another thing that he's depicting here? It seems like a given state.
He divides here to two parts. He wants to say this. There are people who engage in the Torah. They do so because they were taught to do so. And therefore, they don't have their own desire for it. But the Creator commanded, and I do. This is, how do you say, flattering, you know, something that's just not real. And that's why it's called the impure mistress, handmaid, sorry, that doesn't lead to the goal. That it is so false that one becomes harmful, greatly harmful to himself and the entire world. Because it's not just the handmaid herself that is impure, but it's a great negative force generated in the world by engaging in the Torah incorrectly. That brings many troubles to the world, including Eva, what's called mixed multitude, which is referred to as those who fear of the Creator and work for Pharaoh. Meaning, on the one hand, they fear the Creator, they want to carry out His commandments and so on. For what? They're workers of Pharaoh. Meaning, in order for me to have everything in my desire, thank God to have this world, the next world, for me and my children and everything. This is called Erev Rav, which most of the time induce all the mishaps for the people of Israel, the Shalkel. So he divides it simply here. Either you engage in what the Creator has commanded, or you have a true urge within to ask, what is the point in life? After all those scholarly questions, as he raised it in item 1, and then in item 2, he says, if we just pay attention to this indignant question, what is the point in life? And here he continues, if you have just a desire that is really not even yours, then you just engage in it in order to get greater benefits. Although it seems that you are completely and totally immersed in what you're doing, in your engagement, but that entire engagement, actually, the more you engage in it, the further away you move from the goal of creation, from Lishma. Whereas if you have your own desire to know, who am I, what am I, what is the point in life, whom do I benefit? These are scrutinies that come later on, later down the road. It doesn't happen right away. A person doesn't immediately ask, to whom do I benefit? To whom do I belong? These are things that we will hopefully feel soon. That will be a good phase when a person begins to have direct, straight line to the Creator. That's called, to whom do I benefit? Whom do I benefit?
Yeah. בתורה כשר ולא כשר.
So there's a kosher engagement in the Torah and a non-kosher one. The kosher means that it leads you to the Torah, meaning that you rise above your nature and acquire a second nature, and one that is non-kosher, which means that the more you engage in it, the more blind you become, like a bat that can only see through the darkness, meaning through in order to receive. And he doesn't feel that he is there. If he felt it, that would be a great correction. Only we feel that we are in reception, and then we awaken to correct it, because it burns us. It's part of that primary shame. But those who study simply because the Creator commanded to, they don't feel it. Yes.
Sasha from Moscow is asking why this desire is called of what is the meaning of life is purer than the others.
Because he has a point in the heart. It stems from the innermost desire that exists in the person. All the Creator created is the desire. The innermost point of that desire is furious about why do you live, and that's what I need to discover. If a person is asking what do you live for, it's a symptom that he has this point in the heart. And this needs to be discovered in the full four phases, which is who governs me, when, why. And the question is it worthwhile to exist, to live? Because if I don't discover the Ketel, all the rest that I receive from him, temptations, these nice illusions, for now I drown in them and it's all great. But after all, I want to know what is the root, what is the result. I'm asking practically, is there a purpose or not? All the rest just doesn't lead me to more than despair. What for? And a person who comes to this level of questions, this means that he is starting to ask from the point of Malchut towards the point of Ketel, and he must discover it. So he is already ripe for the revelation of the Creator, adhesion, and the rest don't. He should still wait. They need to receive illumination from us that will accelerate their development, or they'll join us and just cling to us, and we'll be able to take care of them in that way. It's all about the person's desire. That's what it depends on. Otherwise, it will be an unripe fruit. And a person shouldn't open the wisdom of Kabbalah. Besides that, we should understand that even in the same nation of Israel that we can envision during the days of the first and second temple, back then too, you had all the different layers of the nation. You know how he calls it, the rich and the poor and the wise and the strong. Yeah, he writes it in the introduction to Panei Meirot U'Masbirot. Or you can say the four phases in the people of Israel. Because we're talking about the desire all in all. So you need to know that back then as well, there were those who just followed and they had attainment from that. Meaning they were told to follow something and they did. Meaning their will to receive didn't have these fundamental global questions. But they still had some relation to it. Some indirect relation. It's, you know, it's like in a body. You have hands and legs and even, excuse me, your ass and all kinds of parts that, you know, what for? What do you need? All that flesh, all those organs, you know, you can only live with your head, let's say. But it's a complete structure. And that's how it needs to be connected. So there are pieces that correct. Even within the people of Israel, there's the Kohens, the Levites, and then there's also the common people, and within them there's more and more layers, other than the 12 tribes and the heads of tribes, the managers of tens and hundreds and dozens of thousands and so on. This, it's a structure. And what does that structure indicate? It indicates the different parts of the will to receive and how it's organized, and accordingly how it needs to undergo correction. And the same is true for men. The 613 desires is the height. It's one's inner ladder that he must correct. There are different, you know, sounds and colors. There are different manners. But eventually, it's just the will to receive. It's like the Mendeleev table that shows you the elementary particles that put together every atom, but then the different compound creates different qualities. But internally, it's just a different number of electrons, protons, and so on, and that creates all of matter. So we need to understand that not everyone is just like the other, and there is room for each and every one.
And
therefore, the more we study and see this type of handmade, that type of handmade, Erev Rav, this layer, that layer, still there's a need for each and everything. That's how it works.
And as
Ba'aslam says, you have to correct yourself, and then things will be corrected on the outside. But to just destroy something out of you, outside your intention to receive, is forbidden. Grisha, yes. Does the Erev Rav have a point in the heart? And they feel there's a creator, or it's just their belly? I don't know. No, because he gives them shame. I don't know, he doesn't write about the error of Rav here. He writes that you can study the Torah with an incorrect goal. But there are people with a point in the heart and people without. So who is he talking about here? Those who don't. But if they don't have a point in the heart, then what do we want from them? They were taught what they were see, what they see, you know. That's what he says, that if they study the Torah because they were taught to, that is no good. Because then, the engagement in the Torah is called the impure handmaid. But this is what, I don't know, I'm just reading what is written. And if it doesn't concern me, I just move forward. And what's important to me is what concerns me. Okay? I came to the wisdom of Kabbalah or the Torah or whatever I have reached because I have a concern in my heart. And not because the Creator commanded me this or that, or I don't care what he commanded or didn't. That's all.
Item 34. The tikkunim, the corrections of the Zohar, interpret the meaning of the oath, if ye awaken and if ye stir up love until it please. The precision is that Israel will draw the light of the upper chesed, mercy, called love of mercy, since this is what is desired. This is drawn particularly by the engagement in Torah and in mitzvot, not in order to receive reward. The reason is that the light of the upper wisdom is extended to Israel through this light of chesed, mercy, appearing and clothing in this light of mercy which Israel extends. And this light of wisdom is the meaning of the verse, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, Chochmah and Binah, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. It is said about the King, the Messiah, and he will set up an ensign for the nations and will assemble the dispersed of Israel and gather together the scattered of Judah from the four corners of the earth. This is because after Israel extends the light of wisdom through the light of mercy, the Messiah appears and assembles the dispersed of Israel. Thus, everything depends on the practice of Torah and the work Lishma, the work of bestowal, which can extend the great light of mercy where the light of wisdom clothes and extends. This is the meaning of the oath, if ye awaken and if ye stir up. It is so because complete redemption and assembling the exiles are impossible without it, since so are the channels of holiness arranged.
This means that we first need to work on chesed, chesedim, mercy, the intention to bestow that we will acquire above all our will to receive, our desires to receive, and it will grow along with the desires to receive that will grow. Root 1, 2, 3, 4, we will thus overcome them to maintain the intention to bestow, the intention of bestowal on levels root 1, 2, 3, 4. And when we rise above the entire desire that we have with the intention in order to bestow, this is considered acquiring the full light of mercy. And then it's called the katnut, the infancy of the degree. Afterwards, through that light of chesed, will be able to receive the light of
Chochmah.
The discovery of the upper reason that will fulfill us. The light of Chesed is the correction of creation. The light of Chochmah is the fulfillment of creation, the goal of creation. When the light of Chochmah fulfills the light of chassadim, that's called that we receive in order to bestow, that we fulfill the Creator, because revealing the light of chokhmah within us is as if to say discovering the Creator within the creature. Hey, perhaps read again.
Again, item number 34. The Tikkunim of the Zohar interpret the meaning of the oath, if ye awaken and if ye stir up love until it please. The precision is that Israel will draw the light of the upper chesed, mercy, called love of mercy, since this is what is desired. This is drawn particularly by the engagement in Torah and in mitzvot, not in order to receive reward. The reason is that the light of the upper wisdom is extended to Israel through this light of mercy, appearing and clothing in this light of mercy which Israel extends. And this light of wisdom is the meaning of the verse, "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, Chokhmah and Bina, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." It is said about the King, the Messiah, "And he will set up an ensign for the nations, and will assemble the dispersed of Israel, and gather together the scattered of Judah from the four corners of the earth." This is because after Israel extends the light of wisdom through the light of mercy, the Messiah appears and assembles the dispersed of Israel. Thus,
that all the desires to receive of the four phases of the four corners of the land, the four corners of the desire, they begin to be corrected and fulfilled in order to bestow.
Thus, everything depends on the practice of Torah and the work, lishma, the work of bestowal, which can extend the great light of mercy where the light of wisdom clothes and extends. This is the meaning of the oath, if ye awaken and if ye stir up. It is so because complete redemption and assembling the exiles are impossible without it, since so are the channels of holiness arranged.
Yes.
What is the Messiah? What does he do?
I don't know.
He writes about it.
Yes, he does. Ask him. I don't know. The Messiah appears. What does it mean? What can appear? The upper light, the higher quality. What is it? I don't know. Haven't met it. No, I'm saying seriously. I can't say about this. What I depict to myself is not meaning after you discover the individual lights of correction, both chassadim and chokhmah, which is dressed in chassadim, then comes the Messiah. I don't know what it is. You could say that it's the same light that corrects the malchut itself, because we only engage in Achap of Aliyah, the middle line. The true Malchut doesn't become corrected by us. All our work is in this very thin line in the middle of the circular void. And that void is all that will to receive, which is literally the fourth phase, and we work above it, above the fourth phase. So possibly after we end all our corrections of Achap of Aliyah, then comes this great light that corrects the entire Malchut, pulling it from its intentions to receive to intentions of bestowal. And that we cannot do. We cause that by what's called, you know, the droplets that fall into the big ocean and so on. But there's different references to this, conclusion. But the Messiah that pulls the entire Malchut from in order to receive to in order to bestow, this is something that comes after all our corrections. It's something called the the loose bone. There's different different appellations, titles for it. He also writes about it in the end of the introduction to the Zohar, but I don't know. It's written about in such ways that, well, it's certainly a force that comes from above and corrects the Malchut. But this already exists beyond us, beyond the work we do. Therefore, it's not so significant. I need to know what I can do, what I do, and thereby correct as facts, meaning that indicate that I'm stepping forward. And after the corrections are made, many more things will appear. But what is certain from here is that it's a force, just like the light that reforms comes to us through gradual portions, correcting us time and time again in different ways. We feel its changes in a bad way and in a good way. One time it opens up the will to receive and I feel a descent. The other time it corrects the will to receive and I feel an ascent. And I move between this and that. And that is the light that reforms. The Messiah, as I said, I believe it's that light that concludes all of the corrections, those that we cannot perform by ourselves. Rather, we prepare for them by not using them, by separating ourselves from them all the time, and so on.
A student called Mark is asking, we were also told not to ask for the light that reforms and to ask for connections. Should we not do this? Sachanok is adding that when it's within the boundary of the will to receive, then it's correct.
Well, finish the question. I didn't
understand. So Mark is asking, in connection to connection and the attraction of the light that reforms, we don't feel that. It doesn't come from within us. It's something that we need to request. So why is that okay? And to come and ask, to come and learn from a mitzvah, it's not okay.
Well, first of all, this is what Baal HaSulam writes. So first of all, this is what he writes, whether you agree or don't, this is what's written. That's one. Two, a person cannot scrutinize anything if it doesn't come from his own will. If I just read some book and I'm working based on what it says, not from my own desire, but because I was brought up that way, then in fact, this is not me. I'm like some robot here, a part of someone else's body. You know, forget the bodies. There are no bodies. There is someone, say my father, who told me, you have to sit and study 10 hours a day, etc., etc. I received the desire, the direction, the guidance from this father, and I do it. Is it me or my father? It's my father who simply created an addition to his own body. That's it. Just like there's another piece of his body that does something. So it's not me. I'm not correcting anything of my soul here. I'm working according to his desire. What does it mean I do it because the Creator commanded to do? First of all, I don't know and don't feel the Creator. I'm just working with a desire that is not mine. This is basically it. But why do they say They engage because the Creator commanded to do, because this is an expression. That's how they rid themselves of the problem, and they just say, we engage because the Creator commanded. In that way, they don't correct their desire.
But when they request to attract the light, when they request to attract the light during the lesson, that also doesn't come from me. That comes from the instruction that we get from you. It doesn't come from within me. Where they're requesting me to request correction, to connection, that's not coming from me. That's coming from instruction.
So you're still just learning. If you still can't tie together the request for the light with what pains you, your goal in life, so you're still studying as a preparation for it. And there will come a time when you will be despaired from your entire life after you suffer blows and various problems, and you will finally feel, not understand, feel. The heart understands. It's an understanding that is dressed in the heart, the chokhmah that's dressed in chasadim. Only still happens just in the vessels. So you'll begin to feel that you have no choice if a help does not come from above, from something, but from me there's certainly nothing, and nothing can happen if I am just nothing. And then, from that point, where it's written, there's no better moment in a person's life than being despaired of his own strength, for then he needs help from above. Then you'll have a connection between what is the point in life with that light that will finally come. Then it means that you actually do study from the interior of the heart and not because the Creator commanded. Okay, let's continue. Yeah, quickly.
I'm trying to understand. Those who do not have a desire, what choice do they have? What are they to blame?
It's not anyone's fault. It's someone to blame. We can only blame ourselves. No one in the world is to blame for anything. No one. Including those who despise us all over the world, those who live in the borders here and want to eat us up. No one is to blame. These are our vessels which are not corrected. If I would correct them, they would be along with me, identifying with me. If I don't, they exist in various outer forms that threaten me. That's all, and let's move to the next part.
We want to go to the next part of the lesson.